I'd like check, to start check, out. Check.
All right, yeah, are we all appropriately vaped?
We are. I'd like to start out by saying something wonderful about our great president.
Oh, gosh.
I know that I'm often critical of the president.
Jay's been working from home for days and just building up just his nerd rage.
Yep.
Just, what do you got?
No. I'm serious. I'm saying something good about our president.
Okay.
He's decided to outleft the Democrats, and he'll be doing a UBI, he's offering a UBI stimulus package of, I think at last count was $1,200 a month for every adult. And
what?
$500 for every child. Direct deposit within the next 3 weeks into our bank accounts.
Really?
Yeah. He's also nationalizing some industry in order to...
This is because of the coronavirus?
This is because of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. This is also President Donald Trump.
Again, our episodes come out a week or two late, so this may have already happened, and we are all already dead. So in that case, apologies for how badly it went, I guess.
But, I mean, he tried, and he also single-handedly, with this move, has wrapped up the 2020 election.
Well.
100. You're going to give everybody money while the Democrats are trying not to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But I had not heard about that. That's to keep the economy going while we're all at home or whatever.
And it's going to be an ongoing, from what I understand, it's 4 weeks after that. If we're still in a state of emergency, it'll happen again.
And wait, what are the details of this? Everyone gets $10 million?
Everyone gets
we're all rich.
Yep.
Everyone gets adults, $1,200, kids, I think it's $500. I know that there's
a one-time thing.
At least one for time, now. And as long as we stay under a state of emergency and all this is going on, it'll happen again a month later.
$1,200 bucks a month. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to start buying stuff.
Right.
Let's keep this economy humming.
So, the Democrats.
I don't know. What are they doing? Have they found the cure?
No. They're just, they wanted to do the same thing, but they wanted to means test it because... means testing is what gets neolibs hard.
Yeah, it does.
It's so interesting.
They can't jack off and to completion without filling out a form in triplicate. So now the right has outlefted the left on economics.
So they're doing everything better.
They kind of are.
Well, Jay, it sounds like you're voting for Trump.
I'm kind of not.
I don't know what choice you could possibly have.
Writing in Bernie Sanders.
Well, he's not going to be in the election.
I'm going to write him in.
Oh, okay. Throwing your vote away.
Throwing your vote away.
Page out of your book, motherfucker.
Wasting your vote.
Wasting my
vote.
That's
throwing
exactly
it in
what
the
you
gutter.
Did.
You might as well burn it. Why even show up?
I can't in good conscience vote for Joe Biden. I also can't in good conscience vote for Donald Trump. But I'm going to go out and vote. And write in Bernie Sanders, and the DNC can lick my asshole.
I wonder if, what if this Corona thing is still going on when the election comes around? You're going to have record low turnouts,
I think
no?
They're talking about moving to a national paper, write-in paper ballots,
too.
Which should be fucking happening anyway.
Yeah,
national write-in paper ballots.
Yes, which should be happening, and it's terrifying to the DNC, and I would imagine the RNC, too. Because it expands access to democracy instead of contracts access. I think the party elites would rather have a low turnout with lower access to democracy than have everybody vote.
Oh, of course. I'm sure they'd rather have nobody vote.
Yeah.
That's right? The whole point.
It's kind of the point
voting is so inconvenient when you're in power.
Yeah. Like when they held an election.
Running out looking at people's votes.
They held an election in 3 states on Tuesday.
And Bernie Sanders won all of them.
He did not.
He did not.
He told his supporters to stay home.
Wow.
Not told him to stay home, but wasn't like getting out the vote or anything like that. Where Joe Biden was like, go to the polls. I don't know how to work a camera. I'm going to walk off frame.
What a crazy nutbag.
Yep.
This is my favorite headline this week was Joe Biden did a... He tried to do a teleconference, like town hall, and he did it for about 7 minutes. And in the course of this, managed to walk off frame. And then they had to cut to like a Biden for America like background while they repositioned the Jobot in frame. Right?
Oh, no.
Then I think it was the Times ran an article. Joe Biden just did just attempted a. Something that's never been done before in modern electoral history, and he should be given credit for that because it was a huge disaster. to which everybody responded, Bernie Sanders has been doing this for...
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders literally did three of these this week, mm-hmm. and they were fine.
You know what's just ballistic is that when you have a presidential candidate, and the most weird thing about him isn't that he likes to sniff children's hair. It's just a wild, wacky world we live in.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I mean, we are going to be given the wonderful choice in 2020 of...
a douche and a turd sandwich.
A one man who was accused of sexual assault. That's the joke. And a man who was accused of slightly less sexual like harassments. We've got, you know, one man who was accused of over 40 and one man who's been accused of 8. Those are our decisions in 2020.
I looked it up and I couldn't find that over 40 number.
I've seen over 40 on everything.
I found like 20 and not to say, listen, that's yeah, like, still bad. You shouldn't have more
but
than 10.
I will revise
I'll give you
it.
10. Your first 10 are free.
I'll revise it down. And our choices are over 20 and 8.
Eight's also a bad. I said I'd give you the first ten for free. I gotta stick by my word.
So to watch that.
All right,
you'll
Joe.
Be voting Joe 2020.
Listen, if you're in politics or really anything long enough, you're gonna rack up a couple just by the sheer numbers of the game.
Bernie has zero.
I mean, when you're like living your life, even like if you live in like Hollywood, there's like a certain like cesspooly environment. That once you immerse yourself in, I'm like, well, you're going to get a couple.
I mean, it's just
but 10, above 10, I'm like, hey, listen, pal. That's a little weird.
Law of averages is one of those has to be credible, right?
Yeah.
And severe.
Yeah, law of averages. You just got to figure.
Oh, man.
So,
sexual assault's funny, guys.
The nice thing is that if the coronavirus is still around in November, I won't have to go vote because I don't care.
This is the end of our country. We're witnessing the end of just democracy as a whole. Not our country. We will live on as a country.
Could be the end of the world, Jay.
I don't think it's the end of the world.
Well, this whole corona business hasn't shook itself out yet. Or maybe it has.
Mm-hmm. That's the end of probably like...
this from a bunker and we're the only form of entertainment left. We're so sorry.
If you're listening to this now, it's all over.
If there are any Republicans who are still listening to this podcast, which like I'm sure none of you are, because you get to listen to me rant about how dumb you are every week.
No, they just send in hate mail, Jay.
Just make sure you're taking this seriously, even though you're a Republican. I still want you to take this seriously.
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
What, the coronavirus?
The people who aren't even believing
a recent poll that came out that 60% of Democrats are taking it seriously as compared to 30% of Republicans.
Yeah.
Mm. So like, guys...
What are you doing?
It's like viruses don't have a party affiliation.
Yeah, that's the best part. I mean, well, best part? Sure. Yeah.
Not since the Southern Strategy.
God.
That was when they became
unaffiliated. What do you think the Southern Strategy is, Dave?
that's when they invented Lyme, the Lyme disease. Unleash that on the population.
The Democrats or the Republicans?
Both.
The cabal, dude.
It was the cabal. It was the last truly bipartisan act.
We've enacted Lyme disease.
That's why I always knew there was a reason why I was an independent, not a fucking Democrat. Yep.
Can't abide Lyme disease. So the world might be ending, but more probably it's just a minor inconvenience, and we're all going to get free money.
We'll
so
all get free money and
stay home, get your free money.
CAG and, you know, all that good stuff. And like,
just make sure to shop on Amazon with your $1,200. Don't go to the stores.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos will have it delivered in less than 2 days. They're doing one day delivery in a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in a city.
Noticed.
Yeah.
I think that the best advice I've seen, which is fairly true, is like, you know, they asked our great grandparents. It's like a little melodramatic, but it is what it is. They asked our great grandparents to go over to Europe and die.
Yeah.
They're asking you to sit your ass on your couch for a few months. Like,
fucking sit your ass on your couch.
You can make the sacrifice. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a comparison to World War
II. It's a comparison to World War
II. Oh, okay. No, I got you. Yeah. I was like, when did we're asking our grandparents? Are we deporting old people?
Yes.
And Europe doesn't seem like a good place. They have more of the virus. I don't see how this is going to help, Jay.
We're sending them all.
You lost me. No, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a small sacrifice to make. Plus, couches are comfy.
They
so
are comfy. They're much more comfy than like a cramped submarine or a troop boat on Normandy.
Or a trench or something.
Yes, it is overly dramatized comparison. Jay's got going.
So, like, make the sacrifice and don't fucking go out.
Yeah.
It's not too hard.
Just listen to our podcast. Tell your friends to listen to our podcast.
We have a huge back catalog.
We have a ton of episodes, and we may be the only form of entertainment that survived the collapse.
Kind of are.
It will be.
It's because like, we've been recording these on reel-to-reel. That's right. It's physical.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, we haven't seen the ramifications in... I mean, we're starting to see that movies are getting pushed back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the whole Hollywood industry is, like, shut down entirely.
Yes. So podcasting and independent media are going to be...
It's a good time for YouTube right now. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you that much. All my favorite creators are pumping them out because they're home.
So, again, help us out. Share it with your friends who are going to be quickly running out of content to watch.
Yeah.
And tell them to listen to us, where we talk about politics, movies, and Star Trek.
And if they were watching, you know, AAA Hollywood-created content that's gone now, they're going to love us.
Oh, yeah. We're better than it.
Right.
What's
right,
better than watching it is hearing three assholes talk about it.
Exactly. Speaking of which, did you guys watch any good movies lately?
Yeah, I watched a couple.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we in the intro now?
Yeah, we are.
We're in the intro.
We're doing the intro. Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't have a script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, Peter Pan and Hook.
Yep.
Yeah, the good ones.
The good ones, so right. Far. We haven't seen the other ones
what
yet.
What did you guys think?
The original one, while still racist in parts, is a quality hour and change movie. And the new one, I mean, sure. How do you not like Hook? We grew up with it, so it's hard not to look at it with nostalgia glasses, but it still holds up for me.
It holds up, but it did drag. I mean, Hook? It was two hours and 20 minutes.
Yes, it was.
I did not realize it was that long.
It was a long movie, and there were points where I was like, you could cut some of this.
Yeah, I feel you. But all the scenes for me, they a lot of them had like a nostalgia factor that made me 100%, kind of, you know.
So it's hard for us to look at this one objectively at all.
If I was going to cut anything, it would be the entire first 20 minutes of the movie.
Really? Before they go to Neverland?
I would shorten it.
You need to shorten it.
I would say shorten it because you do need to establish that he's not Peter Pan anymore. He's kind of a dick. Not really a dick, but he kind of is. Rob Williams even said after the fact, he's like, I don't even like that guy. Like, nobody likes that guy at all. And he's like, I don't even like my performance as him because he's such an asshole to kids. Like,
such a weird thing to be like, I don't even like my portrayal of that guy. Well, that's because he's acting.
Point. Yeah, no.
Well, he's a great
actor. Well, he doesn't want to be that. He doesn't want to put off kids because he was like,
Sure, no, I get it. But it's like, if you're going to play like a character, it's, I mean,
I think he was saying that he was written almost too mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I think he redeems himself nicely in the movie, so I think totally it's done perfectly.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that he said that.
Yeah. No, I get it. Robin Williams was a pussy. I get it.
Absolutely.
It's just,
grow up,
Robin. This is acting.
If you shorten that a little bit, it's... Because what the most memorable scenes are in Neverland.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You're not...
Sure.
That was, to me, I was the biggest thing for me was like, oh my God, the beginning of this movie is really long. Like, I never would look back. When I thought back to it, I thought like the scene where he's giving the toast, he yells at the kids.
Yeah, you didn't need that.
And then they're in Neverland. Like, that's in my head. Those were the story beats before we went into it.
Ah, but you got to set up the baseball game.
I completely
game
forgot.
That was the thing about the baseball game, the airplane scene, where it's, you're afraid you're going to get sucked out.
Yep.
I remembered when it happened, but before it was like, oh yeah, I remember this.
You just remember the movie being shorter, is basically what you're saying.
I just, the big story beats I remember were just those three beats from the beginning. And then everything in Neverland was like, oh, I'm replaying this in my head.
Right.
Those first 20 minutes.
Really. All the Dustin Hoffman scenes.
The best.
Oh, the best.
That's the best part of the fucking movie.
So perfect.
As we all know.
Yeah.
Smee.
Yeah, him and Smee. Smee, who is an excellent character in both movies, actually.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the original Smee, too.
I think the original characters are iconic.
Yeah.
I think all of them are.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But for some reason, most of all, Smee.
Well, yeah.
I really like Smee.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the guy who did Winnie the Pooh? He was one of the more famous Disney
voices. No, it wasn't Pooh. It was another guy. Though.
We've heard him a bunch already now.
He was the White Rabbit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Wendy was Alice.
Was it? Okay.
Yep.
I believe you.
From Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
The Alice.
The Alice.
The one with the sword and the Jabberwocky.
You're that right. That Alice. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The classic Alice.
As I was watching this, I was like, we've been doing this podcast a while. Did we watch this already? I was like,
definitely, probably did not.
We maybe did. I don't know.
I don't think we did.
There were a couple scenes where I was like, deja vu, but it's just going to be me. But we've watched so many. It's kind of a blur.
Yeah. I don't think we've done Peter Pan before.
No, I don't think so.
If we have, I'm sure one of our listeners would tell us.
Yeah, we didn't watch the sequels.
They don't know.
No, they don't
know. They don't know what we've watched.
No. Yeah.
We don't know.
There's just one super fan out there who's like, why don't they check Twitter? I've been tweeting at them for months.
One lunatic fan.
Yeah.
Just desperate for our attention.
Like, has our phone number, but for some reason tweets at us.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about just some rando.
Do we have rando fans?
Do we have reach? I don't know. Maybe.
Hey,
we
if
don't.
You're a rando fan who doesn't have our phone number, email
it's,
us at
nafcast.com. On every episode.
It is.
Yeah, but I think everyone who listens to us
is our friend.
Email us. We have email too.
Yes.
It works on the internet.
Yes.
You put an e stamp on it and send it through the e tubes.
That's exactly how email works.
Then it gets to us and we read it.
You're 100% right.
Maybe we'll read it on the air.
Whoa.
Wow. I know, right?
Way to entice them.
So be careful. Nothing too offensive.
Plenty offensive, please.
Yeah. We're a PG podcast.
We are?
Yeah. So these fucking movies.
Oh, fuck.
These fucking children's movies. the original one was so weird to me rewatching it.
There were a lot of it was weird.
Like it was at a point in time where they were going. I feel like they were making a transition from like the totally off the wall, like weird car, like the moving train, like the living train.
Yeah.
From Dumbo.
Uh huh.
But into like the goofy like Looney Tunes type like slapstick cartoon activity of,
I guess,
like,
yeah,
the later years, because like when Captain Hook is being like chased by the crocodile and stuff, and it's,
oh yeah
it's all very
everything is very fluid, and like all the characters have like cartoonish,
yeah,
it was like Tex Avery style, yeah
you know, it felt like he should have had like a bomb go off in his face and have mm-hmm. it like black powder,
yeah,
like with the hair.
I think they were just like certainly aping that style for sure. Yeah,
very very trippy at parts.
There was
and Peter Pan is a dick.
He's just a dick.
He is an asshole.
He's just an asshole.
So you can see how he grew up into Robin Williams.
That's
Hook.
True.
Like, it's not.
It makes
true.
Total sense.
It is a great character arc. Yeah.
And the ironic thing is that while Hook is about Peter Pan, Peter Pan is actually about Wendy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Peter Pan is almost like, he's not the villain, because that's obviously Captain Hook.
And he's not the protagonist.
Is this a Legend of Zelda isn't actually about Zelda take
yes.
right now?
Yeah,
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really about
it's
Wendy's
more
story.
More Wendy's Adventure in Neverland.
Yeah, Wendy's... Peter Pan, like, yeah, she's this kid, and she's like, she wants to live in the nursery, but
he's not on screen
to grow up.
A lot.
And,
like,
no.
He spent a lot of time with the Lost Boys and the Pirates and everything, and Pan's like just hanging out with Wendy, trying to mack on that.
You follow Wendy's story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's she's the hero. It's her who's like, hey, we have to go home.
Yes.
And it's at that point, that's when the story pivots to like Peter Pan is like, oh, I'm like pissed about that.
I'm grumpy.
Yeah. And then he has to learn that, you know, everybody has to grow up except for Peter Pan.
In the Lost Boys.
Until Hook, when he does grow up. I don't know.
It's weird. It's a bit of a stretch to say that these two are sequels, because it's real. I mean, the Hook is not a sequel to Disney's Peter Pan. Hook is a sequel to the story.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I mean, technically it's a sequel, but I just wanted to watch Hook, guys. If we had to watch we had to watch a string of remakes, may as well throw Hook.
I mean,
Hook
was, that's set design on Hook.
Oh my God.
Oh,
the production design
gosh.
Is fucking phenomenal.
It is a whole nother movie when it gets to, and I don't know if it was intentionally done or not, but like,
I mean
it looks good before they get to Neverland, but holy shit, the sets, the whole production.
That whole Pirate Cove is insane.
It's amazing.
Oh, the Pirate Cove's the best part of the
just
movie.
The
even
ship,
the Lost Boys
skull
tree.
On the back Lost of the ship, like the whole back of the ship is a skull. That's fucking awesome.
That's all practical, right?
It is all practical.
All practical.
Absolutely.
Sex. Like that was all built, like those were all extras. Like there's a sea of people.
Yes.
It was one of the most impressive. I mean, what? It's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. It was 91?
It was 91, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even the fight scene at the end, which is like
30,
a silly, like, fight scene. What's that?
Oh, my God. It is 30. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's 2020, Jay.
Kill me now.
It's 30 years old.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. It's fucking amazing that for something to look that good, and it still
It was Spielberg money.
Still looks good.
Oh, yeah.
It was Spielberg. So
it wasn't on Disney.
No,
it wasn't.
Because as I realized, it's an Amblin movie. It's not a Disney movie at all. It was okay. My mistake for thinking it was.
It was on Netflix. I just watched it on Netflix.
Oh, fair enough. So Amazon.
Piece of cake. But yeah, I looked for it on Disney at first, and I was like,
yeah.
Huh,
but then once it said like Amblin Entertainment, I was like, it's Spielberg. Yeah,
it was. Listen, if you're gonna watch one of them, watch Hook.
Fucking Hook, absolutely.
The Peter Pan is what it is. It's a classic like kids story that I think we all kind of know.
Yes.
The parts of it were weird though.
Yeah.
There was like things that. Okay, so you got Wendy, and she's living in like the real world, and her dad is kind of a douche. He wants her to grow up.
Yes.
And it's the same voice who's Captain Hook, so there's obviously it's like a metaphorical thing where Captain Hook is supposed to be this...
The embodiment of,
Of like responsibility and growing up, but also he's a pirate, like the exact opposite of like being a responsible adult. And then you've got Peter Pan, who's supposed to be like the free spirit, and you don't have to grow up, and I'm the embodiment of childhood, and I'm going to hang out all day and play games with the Indians and make out with the mermaids. But when he's bringing when he's bringing John and Michael there, he's like, you can come, but you got to take orders.
Yeah.
And so he's like the paramilitary organization of the two, which is the exact opposite of a free-spirited youth.
It's a mixed message.
Yeah, the whole thing was a big mixed metaphor.
Well, he's like the Viet Cong, is what the Viet Cong.
Considering the Vietnam War was
literally
still
pop out of
10
a tree.
Years off. Okay.
Well, I figured out where furries came from. I'll tell you what, I had that experience in this movie.
That was your big light bulb moment?
Yep. I was like, oh, this is where everyone got furries from. Here we go.
I can point you to six other Disney movies that's where I got.
Really?
Robin Hood? Hello? That's one of the biggest ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's
you're
really
right.
Really where it came from.
Oh, yeah. But no, there's like legitimate furries in this movie. Like kids who are dressing up as animals.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But like, I don't think that was...
I don't think it was not.
I don't think people go, oh man, my furry sexual awakening was watching these little boys dressed up as
I don't know why you're speaking for these people, Brandon.
Brandon is one of these people.
I mean,
he's
might
speaking
be.
For
do
himself.
Do you want to tell us about your own personal feelings on the matter?
It's a little hot in here.
What's your fursona?
So,
your
the
fursona!
Hook.
Fursona!
You've never heard that? That's what it's called. That's what
they
call
it. I'm sure I have, but that's just it's
hilarious to hear somebody
say.
We have to watch All Gas, No Brakes when we're done with this.
What's that?
That's speaking to our audience, too. Check out on YouTube All Gas, No Brakes. It's this guy who does kind of almost Daily Show style interviews where he goes to the most bizarre conventions, like the Flat Earth Convention, Burning Man, Rated Area 51, Midwest FurCon. And he goes and just kind of ingratiates himself with these people and does just kind of like on the street interviews. And they're hilarious. It's fucking hilarious. So gotta watch that after this.
I'm definitely gonna watch the furry one.
It's an so
odd
funny
sub-community.
Yes, it is. And I honestly, after hearing
the behind the bastards,
or worst year
really
ever,
good. Or
where,
yeah.
where they had where like there was this whole thing where they had to police the Nazis out of the furry fandom because there were Nazi furries. Yeah, this was a whole thing in the furry community.
I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, just all sorts of communities overlap.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were also like Jewish furries.
Yeah. I'm sure that the like, furry you know what? Venn diagram is a little incel-y, is a little...
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a little anything. I'm sure it crosses many segments of society.
Yeah.
It's just not one type of person who's a furry. I mean, furries appeal to a wide variety of individuals.
Yeah.
Anyone who saw Peter Pan as a child, for instance.
I maintain Robin Hood
until
we rewatch
furry,
Robin
apparently.
Hood.
Okay, well, Robin Hood may have been a bigger influence on your furrydom, Brandon. But I'm just saying, a lot of people, I'm sure, got their furriness from this movie.
I beg to differ because
okay, I didn't know you were an authority on the matter.
I just think that it doesn't
in this corner.
I know it's fine, Jay. I don't even have to take place.
Because
it's not even like they're
walk you there.
It's not even like they're acting like animals. They just happen to be wearing animal outfits. For like the whole furry thing is like you have an actual animal persona. It's a whole thing, and that wasn't on display at all.
And so these animals that these children dressed as 24/7 and lived a life in the woods as, you don't think they related to them in like a deeper way?
We didn't see it on screen.
It was just random pajamas.
Yes, that's what I was doing.
I have to take Dave's side here. It's death of the author.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
This is absolutely.
What did J.M. Barry want in the turn of the century? What did he want? Yeah.
You can't. Once
was that when the was originally written?
I think. Or maybe 20s, but yeah.
Once it's written, the author
before
has
World
no
War
say
II,
over what
sure.
it means. That's my literate. That's my
sure.
That's how I go.
I think you have. Well, that's a whole deeper conversation. But I think you have to look at both the, I mean, the author's intent and what people decoded out of it. I mean, the author's intent surely matters. I mean,
yeah,
doesn't it?
I used to be a huge author's intent. I mean, this is a. We can get in it. I used to be a huge author's intent person, and then the big thing that turned me around to Death of the Author was Harry Potter.
That was really the
big thing that turned me around to Death of the Author, because like she has just nitpicked and retconned everything that is the author's intent trustworthy.
Yeah.
Can you trust author's intent when you have someone like Rowling who's like, no, Hermione's actually black in the books?
Well, I think there's author's intent, and then there's just lying.
There's just author retconning. Yeah.
Re-authoring intent.
Yeah.
Like, this was always my intent. Well, now you're just lying.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
We're just talking about a whole different. Now you're lying versus
Nagini was always some Asian circus performer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't you know that? It's very clearly written out in the books if you read the subtext.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jeff.
It's
J.K.
just she
Dowling.
Wants to say Rowling. And that's why.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just. I think it's just like anything else, like nature and nurture.
I think it's a bit of both.
It's probably you got to look at it from both angles. I mean, there might be some really good stuff in Mein Kampf, but I'm just like for me the author's intent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm just like I can't read it that way. I understand how you would appreciate the value there
about Mein Kampf,
Death of the Author. I get it. You appreciate Mein Kampf for what it is.
Yep.
Nothing to do with the author. That's big of you, Jay. It's
a piece of literary work.
It's just a piece of literature. That's right.
You know, and I read it every month.
Oh, God.
I appreciate it for what it is, you know?
Jay's going to start a new podcast called My Struggle.
That's priceless.
Oh, man. But yeah, Hook was great.
Hook was...
Did you guys ever know about the Glenn Close cameo?
These aren't working again.
I know.
What?
Glenn Close is in it because there were a bunch of like star cameos. Apparently on the bridge, and I literally blinked and missed this scene, but when you see Peter Pan being taken to Neverland by the fairy, you know, when he's older, mm-hmm. were there two people kissing on a bridge or something? Or in one scene, like in London, there were people kissing on a bridge.
Oh, and they flew into the air?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's George Lucas and Carrie Fisher.
Well, you can't even see them, so why does it matter?
I don't know, but they were.
It's the dumbest cameo I've ever heard.
Carrie Fisher also helped write a lot of the kids' parts.
You're supposed to recognize people in a cameo.
But apparently that was.
That's like you see those people with their backs to you?
Yeah.
That's Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg was one of the pirates, yeah. I think. Yeah,
of course.
But Glenn Close is the Boo Box pirate. When he's like, you. And he's like, no, me. Yeah, that's Glenn Close. In fucking male makeup. And yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe it.
And did you ever notice Don't Ask, the little kid? Don't Ask, the one with the suit?
Mm-hmm.
The Lost Boys?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
that kid from Band of Brothers. That's the one thing I know him from. He was.
He reminded me of, what's the name of
he's
that
in
movie.
Band of Brothers Sandlot. As an adult.
Benny
oh, he
the
grows
Jet.
Up.
And yes, yeah.
I he was Benny the Jet.
I think he is, yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lost Boys were so weird in that one because, I mean, in the first one, they didn't even make an effort to give them names. It was just like there were like two raccoon twins
raccoon
and like
twins.
A fox one
yeah.
and a bear one
because
they identified with their furry persona.
Wow.
That's all they needed.
I'm sold.
I'm definitely with Dave on this. Oh, God. You're not getting any back.
Fair enough.
In Hook, they made like this half-assed effort to be like, these are characters.
Yeah.
And then they were like, don't worry about it. Rufio's the only one we care about.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert for anyone who has not seen this in the
Dave,
past 30 years, Rufio dies.
That was, I remember that as a kid.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
So,
me
like,
too.
I had this moment when I was watching the movie, it was probably about an hour and a half in, where it was like a Rufio scene, and I hadn't remembered that he died yet. And then I was like, oh, he dies soon. Yep. It was right when he goes up to Hook on that last fight.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
I
was
like,
die.
Oh, he's gonna die. And I got like really upset for a minute.
Yeah.
It was definitely a great move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, killing Rufio. It not only ingratiated all of us to that character of Rufio, but it also is a great way to villainize this character who's kind of being humanized throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly a villain and he's manipulating Jack and he's doing bad stuff, but he's so fucking great,
yeah, of course.
That you're like, oh my god, I love him.
Dustin Hoffman's Hook,
he's and so he's got to like kill a Rufio to really solidify, like, all right, we don't like this guy.
One of the things I read, which I thought was hilarious, was when Bob Hoskins and Dustin Hoffman were practicing, rehearsing. That's the word. Mm-hmm. When they were rehearsing,
practicing.
They were like,
sorry,
yeah,
rehearsing.
They were like doing their dialogue and they're like, this doesn't fit. And then they eventually were like, oh, they're gay. And that made them click, and they just played them as gay. Oh. And Spielberg was like, tone it down. But they're like, no, this really helps like our on-screen chemistry. And it totally, I see that. I was like, yeah, like just Speed trying to comfort the old queen. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
It's just funny. What about me? What about me?
Their interaction with was the fantastic.
It's the best.
Yeah. I mean, Robin Williams is great.
Yes.
But he's kind of hemmed in for this role a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because he's playing this like serious grown-up like asshole kind of person.
He doesn't really get to cut loose until the end, and he doesn't really get to cut loose in Robin Williams style.
Right.
He just gets to be like pretend like he's a kid for a little bit, you know.
So Dustin Hoffman and the guy from Who Shot Roger Rabbit.
Bob Hoskins.
Right.
It's Mario. Mario.
And Mario.
Mario. And Luigi Mario.
They really carry the majority of the movie.
Absolutely, yeah. All the pirate sets, the whole pirate side of it.
The kids are fine.
Kids are all,
for child actors.
Yes. Oh yeah, they were good back then. They were good now.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Christine pointed out in the beginning, she's like, this whole fucking thing could have been avoided by just a latch on that window.
Right.
They put a lock on that.
Yeah.
You know that there's pirates who kidnap children and all sorts of craziness.
Well, I guess they also came through the house because he scratched up.
Yeah, they came through the
front door, which was weird.
Well, because he wanted to send a message.
Yes.
Like that, right. That I understand
because
he wanted to send the message that like, it's you know, just regular creepos didn't abduct your kids.
It's a guy who puts a note on the door with a knife.
Yeah.
And then like fancy Scotland paper. Yard. Yeah, we'll send this to the lab for the boys.
Phil Collins?
Is that Phil Collins?
That's Phil Collins. He's another cameo in this too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, at least you could see his face.
For 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's good. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want in a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody you can't recognize from a distance.
Again, I missed the scene, so I couldn't even tell you what they looked
like. It was really, the only reason I know who they are, I remember seeing it because I was like, those two people are flying because of the fairy dust.
Yeah.
So like, I saw these people, and I did not recognize them as the people you talked to.
I believe
you. They're like,
maybe they just
distance.
Said they were in it.
Like in the, not like, the, like
yeah,
in the
they
mid-ground.
Were like way out there, right?
Yeah. I was like, what? When you said that, it's like the most outrageous thing.
Yeah, I literally blinked and missed it, so.
You could that might not even have been them. There's no evidence that it was them.
Spielberg said it was.
Yeah, that could be a lie.
Because
you literally can't see who they are.
He could have said it was anybody.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
That was Obama from the future. And
Obama.
Yep.
Obama.
Yeah, so it was, listen, Hook is the shit.
Hook is great.
But it does, funnily enough, I kind of appreciate the story of Peter Pan more through the lens of Hook.
Yes.
Than I do watching the story of
That's kind of why I wanted
Peter
to watch
Pan.
These together, because, like, they, in my mind, they were sequels. Like, and growing up, I kind of figured they were
I didn't realize
sequels.
It wasn't a Disney movie till I watched it. Again.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Like, I always went to look for it on Disney Plus after I watched Peter Pan.
But after you see it, you're like, oh, that has Spielberg over it. It's so schmaltzy. It's so Spielberg.
Yeah.
So many smoky rooms with light shining, light beams shining through and like.
Smoke where there shouldn't be.
There's
like,
no need for anything to be foggy.
At the end.
Everything's foggy. Like, everything.
He sticks his hook in the crocodile and green smoke comes out.
Yeah,
like, the soul.
That was very weird. That was the only
thing. I feel
there
was always kind of a cop out ish. They should have at least alluded to it actually still being alive, or did it magically just eat him?
Yeah.
Is it alive?
It's
this
magical crocodile statue.
I don't know.
I love the crocodile in the original.
Oh, classic.
Yes.
What a classic scene. Yeah.
When he's waiting for Hook to
do. And he does like his little dance.
Do, do, do.
Yep.
Do, 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 do.
It's classic.
And he's just waiting in the water and his
eyes pop up.
Slaps it when he doesn't walk off the plank.
That's my favorite croc scene in there.
And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep. That's how great that scene was.
Yeah.
So there are scenes like that in the original one. That even scenes I had forgotten about, like in the cave when he's talking into the hat.
Oh, that's also a good scene too. Yeah.
Shmee, and he's impersonating Captain Hook. I forgot about that scene entirely, but then when it came back on, I was like, oh my god! And
I forgot about the Indians. I'll tell you that much.
I vaguely remembered the Indians, and then I was like, oh yeah, now it.
Which is actually, again, I don't know why this keeps happening, but. the best song in the movie.
You're not, well, it's wrong. The most well done song for sure.
Yes,
certainly it's not wrong.
Terribly racist.
For some reason, all the quote unquote racist songs.
What makes the red man red, guys?
What makes the red man red?
When did he first say "ugh"? God, holy shit!
But the "when did he first say "ugh" is just an excuse for a long mother-in-law joke.
It is. It's just a setup for a fucking mother-in-law joke. But why does he say how? Oh my god!
But
not for nothing. It's the best musical scene.
It is the best musical scene, easily, and it's plot critical because it was what makes Wendy decide it's time to go home because she sees Petey Boy flirting with Tiger Lily.
Yes,
and kissing. That's the other weird thing about these movies is like kissing. Is like this thing they always talk about, but no one ever kisses.
Yeah,
the animated ones. It was
both of them.
Yeah, Jay's right. It's it was a Hays Code.
It's a Hays Code.
Well, they do like Eskimo kisses.
That's
probably
that's
an acceptable phrase
correct,
anymore.
But that's exactly what they did.
But when you rub your nose with someone, but and then there's like, I think in the original story the kiss was a thimble.
Yes,
though.
It was.
It's
and
like
that wasn't
this
even
thing
brought up.
Carried
that's
through.
Even that's the, I don't know. My mom always made me watch the or like had me watch the old live broadcast one
where there
we've all seen it, right?
A dude playing or a woman playing
yeah, which they also redid recently too. We don't have to watch that one. It's just a remake of
we're
that.
We're gonna.
No. It's got Allison Williams as Peter Pan.
Actually, I should figure out what we're watching.
We should. But Peter Pan. I always remember the thimble from that, but then it's totally dropped in the Disney movie. There's no thimble thing at all, right?
Other than the fact that there's like sewing stuff in the beginning, she's sewing his shadow.
That's it.
And that was there a kiss scene where I shall give you a kiss?
There
tell
was.
There,
there
had
was.
To be. There definitely was.
But
right?
I don't think they. Oh, fuck me.
I don't know.
I really thought there was.
Oh, fair enough.
I thought they did it in Bull, and then they have the flashback in Hook where he's like, "Oh, I'll shit." And not for nothing, but the story of how Peter came back is like so convoluted.
It's so dumb.
It's like, oh, Wendy, and Wendy was still wanted to bang me as an old lady.
Speaking
but
of a cameo, one of the young Wendys in that flashback was Gwyneth Paltrow's first film role.
Oh, is it a cameo if it's your first film
You know
role?
What I mean.
Or is it just like happened to be?
It was Gwyneth Paltrow in that role, whatever.
Before she was famous.
It was just a role.
Nobody just said, hey, you're Gwyneth Paltrow.
Let's get you in this movie. People are going to know who you are in the future.
I didn't call that right. You're right. It's not a cameo. It was
her first appearance.
It was her first film appearance, yeah.
Introducing Gwyneth Paltrow.
There it is.
As one version of Flashback Wendy.
For 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's really what broke her onto the scene.
I don't know.
It was this movie. After this, she took off.
She kind of did.
Yeah. Her next movie was...
Don't look at me.
Why? You know movies.
Oh, shit.
I thought you were going to pick that one up, Brandon.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, thanks. I guess you don't appreciate the great acting of Gwyneth Paltrow like the rest
Neither
of us.
Neither do you.
I did until I realized she wasn't shit because you don't know any movies she's been in. I thought she was impressive, but now you're my canary in the coal mine
for
that.
For acting.
Yeah. Apparently she sucks. You can't even tell me a movie she's been in.
I don't know. She was the first role that I remember being in, at least like popular, was like Emma, the Jane Austen.
Garbage. Yeah. No one knows that movie. She's terrible.
Okay.
And I'm embarrassed she was in this movie, and it makes this movie lose points. It's now an 8 out of 10.
All right, Dave. You have weird criteria.
I do.
I'm going to gauge this movie on your reaction to the act. If you don't know enough about them, I'm pretty sure they're shit.
Yep. It's a flawless system. It hasn't
my self-esteem is tied to your view of me.
It's worked so far. It's gotten me to where I am today. Coronavirus free.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No, we're all going to die.
We could all have it right now and not know it.
Yeah, some people are asymptomatic. That's like one thing that's interesting. So
50% of California has it, so Chervy, stay safe. Oh,
poor Chervs.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people in California.
Yeah. West Coast in general. There are a lot of Peter Pans, dude.
I'm trying to look up...
There's a lot.
Peter Pan, 1953. Return to Neverland was the cartoon in 2002, right?
Is that a Disney animated sequel?
It was
sequel?
On Disney Plus, I believe.
Yes. And then there's Peter Pan and Wendy, 2021. What?
No.
Peter Pan's Flight?
There were two others between...
Peter Pan franchise.
If you look up Jason Isaacs, he was, Malfoy's dad. He's
Peter
Hook in
Pan
one of them.
Franchise. Disney's Peter Pan. Walt Disney. film. Okay, Peter Please Pan, then Return to Neverland. And then there's Tinkerbell, a film series from 2008 to 2015. That sounded like it went from fucking 7 years. I wonder if it was good. Did we miss out?
Did we miss out on what?
Made for TV movies, I assume.
There's one from 2003 with Jason Isaacs.
Where are you seeing these? I'm literally on the Wikipedia page for Peter Pan.
I'm on IMDb.
Well, fancy.
And I looked it up because I know the actors in it.
Okay. So there's one from what?
2003.
Okay.
And then, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Hugh Jackman was in one. So I'm going to look that up.
I don't know. Are you thinking of Les Mis?
No. I mean, he was in that too.
I think you're thinking of Les Mis.
No.
Maybe you're not understanding because I'm shortening the name. It's Les Miserables.
It's called Pan. From 2015, it was called Pan.
Les Miserables.
No, it's called Pan.
It's, oh.
So
we're going to watch Peter Pan from 2003 and Pan from 2015.
Okay, and there's going to be interesting character or actors playing characters we know.
Jason Isaacs.
Okay, so 2003 and
2015.
03 and 15, Jay.
I got this.
Do not watch made-for-TV movies. Do not watch the Tinkerbell movie series from the mid-2000s.
I might just do that for
Please
fun.
Please do not. Do not watch 2002's Return to Neverland.
Nope.
Although it did look fascinating. I must admit, when it brought me there after watching the first Peter Pan,
really?
I was like, huh, I wonder.
Fair enough.
Part of me was like, it's just one click away.
It is.
I could turn it on right now.
Yep.
And experience the glory of Peter Pan through the eyes of Wendy's granddaughter or something.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm sure it would have been good.
I'm sure it would have been okay.
Nah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm positive it would have been good. It would have been excellent. Academy Award.
Well,
winning.
You have Disney Plus, so you feel free to watch that anytime you want.
I might. I'm home, so.
I know, right?
Although I don't have as much free time as you, Jay. I do. Unfortunately. Where I'm outrageously busy working from home. You're like taking long naps.
I haven't taken a nap yet.
I feel so much better about my tax dollars at work. Well, at least I'm getting that back in stimulus money or something. I don't know how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting screwed here.
Oh, you certainly are.
Could you at least do something, Jay? Could you send me an email so I feel like I'm getting something with my money?
Probably not.
I didn't think so.
Wow.
Didn't think so.
Wouldn't even lift a finger for a taxpayer.
Public schooling. Yeah, right? I pay his salary.
You do.
Do you believe this?
You do.
You
certainly
you
do.
Believe this?
Yeah.
Would you like to just hand it to me?
I wouldn't. I would like some kind of service in return for this.
You should probably have some kids, then.
Rather than you just stand at, no, that's not how it works. I pay taxes into the system. I expect results.
System needs to give back to date.
That's right. Give me one of those
what
kids.
What fifth grade math content area can I teach you today, Dave?
Lend me one of the kids you're teaching.
No, that's not how it works.
Let him crunch some numbers. See
like
how well
Pete's
he's doing.
I'll just rent him out for a little bit.
Bill of sale, man.
Yes, exactly.
God.
I'm paying for this. Have them come over and do arithmetic for me.
This was so much better than watching Peach Dragon, by the way.
Oh, it was, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. If you haven't, if this episode hasn't come out and you watched Peach Dragon in between last episode and this episode, sorry, you should have skipped it.
Very sorry.
Yeah, you should watch this instead.
Yeah.
Go watch Hook. In fact, if you're home for like the next 12 months.
For whatever reason.
You know, just because you're just feeling like you might need some me time. Watch Hook and enjoy it. And then I assume you guys are going to want to talk about that Star Trek show.
Yep. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I watched it an hour ago.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Fresh in your mind.
I don't remember what happened.
Here we go.
Seven of Nine is the Borg Queen. I was right.
Uh-huh.
Fuck everybody.
And there's a whole planet of these people, and there's more Dashes. So I was right. Fuck
that was
all
good.
These people.
That was good. You did call that.
You did call that. And secret Romulan lady is only secret half Romulan. So
I think you guys get half credit. You both get half credit.
I'm taking full credit on that one. I think I said that exactly last episode.
She's a
half breed.
Yeah.
And we've seen the Jat Vash and Borg lady who is the Borg prophet.
Yes,
was
so
it, was a Jat
so
Vash.
She's like the aunt to the bad brother and sister. And she apparently went crazy when she touched the Mass Effect beacon.
Well, so many of them were going to. It was an odds thing.
Yeah.
They were just like, a number of you are going to go crazy and kill yourselves.
Yeah.
But one of you might be cool. And we're gonna hang with that cool person afterwards.
Yeah. Like one and a half ended up being cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
What I thought was super convenient was like then half Vulcan, half Romulan lady put this vision in the doctor lady's mind, and I was like, it's a good thing she didn't kill herself.
The whole plan
would have been all fucked.
Yeah, she probably gave her like a watered-down version of it.
She just shot herself in the head right there in the park.
I mean, it was enough to make her puke.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Damn it.
It was enough to make her
puke. She should have gone lighter on the mind melt.
So the idea behind this vision is that
it's so bad, it's going to make you kill someone you're in love with, Jay.
Right. But like the
it's so bad.
The vision itself, the what was contained in it was that if because it's been a week for me.
Right, okay.
And if I'm thinking back right, it's just like a rise of
the machines.
A machine type of thing, a but not a singularity, but
it, whatever. But that, they call it threshold. But that's what they're saying is that if they create AI, there is a bigger evil that comes in and says, no, don't rob.
Oh, so right. So this is not
the Reapers.
Yeah.
It's, right?
It's the plot of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
The black triangle ships from Destiny was what I thought of. The darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same thing. Yeah. This thing from outside the universe, and it's like it's going to reap us.
Yes.
So altogether, the episode that was supposed to be like the like oh my god episode was not surprising whatsoever because we already all figured
it was
this
a housekeeping
out.
Episode like they just got everything in order because the next two are going to be like big this like,
is,
it's
that
like
was
a two-parter
eight,
yeah
right mm-hmm. So we're going into
nine and ten, which are going to be it's going to be like a two-parter, which is weird saying because the whole series has been a 10-parter, but you know what I mean, it's going to be like we're going to have a cliffhanger and everything.
If they do the if they fade to black and have the blue old school like 87 to be continued, dun dun,
yeah,
dun dun from Best of Both Worlds, I will be
happening.
Fine with it.
No.
Oh, they should totally do that.
Don't worry, they won't, Jay.
Like that would just be a cool.
Although one thing I did learn, the theme of it is the theme that the theme of the song, the theme song is the song that Picard's son in Inner Light plays on the flute, and I watched the clip
no
and
shit.
I was like. Oh fuck! It is that song. It's like exactly that song.
I was wondering
like,
why they picked that.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah.
That is a reason. It is not an excuse.
I do want
an excuse. It doesn't have to justify itself.
The intro is still terrible.
It's not. Hey, it's no. It's not.
Christine and I were watching it today. We had a whole conversation. And I turned around and I was like, "Oh my god, it's still going."
Best intro of any Star Trek. Ready, go.
Enterprise.
Oh.
Fucking kill him right now.
It's been a while. Break it down now.
The idea behind the time lapse of the Enterprise was cool.
Yeah.
And completely killed by the fucking song.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be TNG.
I think it is.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Or
else you're not a Star Trek fan.
I think it's TNG.
Fight me.
No, I'm with you.
I just give me stars, give me a ship.
I honestly
through.
Think
I need a monologue.
Number two would be Voyager. I think Voyager
would
second
be number
best.
Two. I agree.
And then DSi.
Interesting.
Even though I think DSi is the best show, but Voyager had a similar and almost better intro than TNG.
I might put the original over Voyager.
Fair enough.
Just and because the reason I went with the TNG the Next Jedi, the TNG is because it's kind of like it took the original. And made it so much better. It's the same exact thing. It's just like this ship.
Credits.
And this operatic. Oh,
yeah.
They replaced that with like an orchestra instead. Mm-hmm. It's to me, that was like they shined up this classic Cadillac mm-hmm. and put like cruise control in it and air conditioning and like all like these bells. And they were like, that's our intro. And then everything after that was kind of trying to recapture the magic.
Yeah, every single one of them
of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the core four. Just it's going through space. There's a nice orchestral behind it. Enterprise sucked balls. Discovery sucked balls.
Four. Yeah, Picard
Star Trek
is awful
content.
It's not.
Picard's not awful, but I still hate the tanned.
Yeah, I don't like the motif. I like the song,
you know
but I don't like
the
motif.
It reminds me of that show.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think Kurtzman worked on it on. Or maybe it was Abrams on HBO. Fuck, not Left Behind. The leftovers.
Yeah, I never saw that.
It reminds me of that introduction every single time I see it.
Maybe
Leftovers is a pretty good show. You should check out.
Isn't it like after the Rapture? Basically,
they never specify.
They don't say that it is, but it's like, isn't it like a bunch of the population?
The idea is that whatever happens, without spoiling any of it, a bunch of the population is like gone, and it's
the leftovers.
It
it's
picks
about
up
the people
of
it.
The aftermath of that.
Like Leftovers.
Yeah. It's a really good show, and
no,
it's super character driven. But
I can't
intro,
even get through the Expanse. Jay.
I know, Dave.
It's just, I'm
you're
trying.
Not, then you're gonna have trouble with this.
One at a time, Jay. I can only do
you
one.
You can only do one character drama at a
I
time.
I really only can because even if I haven't watched the Expanse for like a week, I'll turn it back on and I'll be like, oh right. That guy. Yeah. What was he doing? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's the same idea, the intro where it's like this weird just song. with words and like this tan background with still but changing images.
Yeah,
I don't like the motif of the whole background thing. It reminds me too much of Discovery, which was also bad.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of Enterprise, actually. Instead of, because of like the changing the scenes that they're kind of overlapping onto the screen, where like in Enterprise it was more about like travel and human progress. But like it's kind of the same thing where it's just like we've took some music. We're gonna have some slides playing behind it.
Like all they
it's
had
gonna
to
be
do,
loosely like Star Trek themed.
All they had to do was be like, just make a space pan,
spaceship,
just a pan in space,
stars,
go over a couple planets,
some cool phenomena,
all in a day. That's all they had to do.
A pulsing binary.
Yeah. Thing. Ended on the eight star thing because that's a whole thing.
Yes.
Now. Why didn't they
swing by a sun and have like a solar flare come out? Like you. It's basic stuff, guys. Yeah. Instead, they have this like collage. That's the word. It's all collage activity.
Yeah.
So that's what reminds me of Enterprise. Is just like, I'm not even getting the show. Yeah, Enterprise.
No, it's like a PowerPoint deck that somebody put together.
Mm-hmm. Someone was like, "Here's my diorama of PowerPoint. A Star Trek like opening."
Yeah.
So here we go, and we're gonna put some silly music over it. That it's I like the fact that there's a reason behind it.
Yeah,
Brandon,
and
I
it's
saying,
catchy.
It's
like
still...
I can hum it in my head. Like right now, I don't remember what Discovery sounds like.
I can't hum any of them except for, but I can do the core four.
Well, yeah, we all can.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
they're
like
good.
The new ones you can't, and I can do Enterprise also, because that song is so bad and it just haunts.
It's been love.
Haunts my very soul.
I think Jay Hate loves things more than he actually
does. I wonder if like they didn't
like
have
he hates
that
Voyager, but he knows so much about Voyager.
Yeah, yeah.
He hates Enterprise, but he knows a lot about Enterprise.
Probably rewatches Enterprise.
He does, just to hate it.
Yeah.
Just to hate it.
Just grinding his teeth the whole time, loving every moment of it.
It's true, Jay.
I don't rewatch it. I will rewatch some Enterprise. I select watch Enterprise episodes because I will give them that there are some good ones. I don't know why I still rewatch Voyager. It's like
I don't
part
know.
Of some
that's
just
like,
shitty
that's
tradition
that's an abusive
that
relationship,
have,
Jay. That's an
like
abusive
once
relationship.
Once every other year, I have to
why
rewatch
do you keep
all
going
Star
back
Trek.
To Voyager?
And I get about
love
to
you.
Threshold, and I'm like, oh my god. It's only season two.
You're doing it to yourself. Like, it's, I don't
digital
understand.
Self-harm.
It really is. Stop cutting yourself, Jeff. And if you're going to do it the right way and get it over with, okay? Just starve yourself to death
just
watching
start
Voyager.
With season seven.
We're
going to
find
Voyager
you in your apartment with the Netflix thing. Just say, are you still watching? And just Voyager on the background. It's just, oh. Just emaciated, he starved himself to death. Just couldn't find a reason to get
couldn't
up and
find
eat.
Find the will to get
just
up and Voyager, make food.
Just that depressing.
About that.
Speaking of though, 7 of 9. What do you think? What? How did you like her in this episode?
Well, I mean, it was exactly what we all talked about.
It
was
is exactly what we
not
called, yeah.
A single surprise is the problem, Jay. Which I mean, it's exactly what you said. It's going to be a Borg Queen situation, and now we've got like. Now we've got a Deus Ex Machina thing we can pick up later.
There's a bunch.
She's like, she's done it, and now we've established that it's a thing, and so now I can use it later to save the galaxy.
Well, and now the looming threat is going to be at the end of this, where I was at the end of 8, is thinking that the end of 10, the season finale, is going to just be like a fucking Borg mega cube. Or a transwarp corridor that pans to a unicomplex.
Mm.
And then it's just going to show an actual Borg queen dropping down and she locks in and then it's like to be continued.
Maybe.
That's where I'm at right
but
now.
But I don't think the ancient evil thing, the Reapers, if you will, I don't think that's the Borg.
I think
you're right about that. But the Borg, I feel like the Borg are just related because like the Borg are like artificial.
Yeah, they do weave it pretty well into the whole.
Yeah,
simple,
it's all a thing. We just don't like computers.
Yeah.
It's like for everything from like a cell phone, apparently, they're just like, oh, it's too smart. Get rid of it. But also we have like birds of prey and stuff and we've just been as technological as everybody else. But we hate them. We hate computers. We've never used them, if you'll notice.
Don't they use computers though?
They do all the time. It's not supposed to. It was never a thing.
They just have
this.
The weird warp drive. Like they don't
the
have
black hole
they
warp
have
drive
the
thing.
Kugel
yeah.
Blitz. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they've got their own different technology.
Yeah,
just like Ferengi used laser whips.
Yeah.
It's just like it's just
that's
the,
what
whatever they came up with.
They were never Romulans were never like a specifically anti-technology.
No.
No.
No, they were the they rivaled the Federation in their technology. Right. They were like the Federation's real rivals. Mm-hmm. Like the Klingons are rivals just because they're like this crazy.
Dude, the Klingons never would have in real life. Type. The Klingons never would have made it to space.
Like, I don't know. I don't know enough about alien cultures in real life to say that.
I do. I'm an expert.
I just the only thing I could base it on is this culture, and we haven't even made it to space yet. So maybe we're
less warlike than the Klingons.
Maybe it would be better if we were an honor culture.
Maybe
it works out better. Maybe there's less of a what's that thing? The net. The it starts with an F. Fermi
paradox.
Fermi paradox.
That's the thing. Or just like
great filter. You're talking about the great
filter. Yeah. Which is a rough, not quite the same thing, but basically the same thing.
It's an answer to the
right. The great filter is an answer to Fermi's paradox. Right.
One of the many. Yeah.
So like maybe it would be better. Maybe the more civilizations need to be warlike and honor driven, and it just gives you that respect for fucking getting out of someone's way. I got to get off this planet because
people are killing
people left and right, and I got to get somewhere else.
And kill those people.
I like that.
Right, kill people there and show them that I'm stronger.
It's like and then, no honor.
Right, and then I'll be the most honorable one, and then I'll have my own planet.
Glory to you.
I don't know.
And your house.
Oh, and your house.
The Gowron eyes.
Crazy
Gowron.
Eyes.
I miss him. Yeah. I miss Ryan Bell. He's not coming back. We know
that is, and again, think about that. Think about like these characters that were so fantastic. And like, who's your favorite character in Picard?
I like them all.
Use one of the old characters.
Yeah, like.
Can't use Picard or Seven of Nine or.
I like Rios. I think he's a good character. I like that. I like what they did with him with all the different holograms. I thought that was kind of cool. It didn't really lead anywhere. Like the it was still like when she got them all together to try to crack the mystery. She didn't really get anywhere.
That's why I found that scene annoying.
But I do like that aspect of it, and I hope that that's played up more in the second season. That we see like all these different because he's like the actor is like a Peruvian or like. Chilean born but raised in London and like so he is doing all those accents on his own. I don't know if he has like a British accent for real or a Spanish one, but I don't know. I think he's good. I think he's a good character.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I like he's not a bad character.
Allison Pill's okay, but that doesn't work. Allison Pill's good.
I like for what she's Girardi,
yeah,
the scientist murderer.
Oh, yeah, I murder people I love because of dreams I had one time.
Yeah.
Right. Her.
But no, there's definitely no like Gowron. There's no Vrenet. Like, I mean, you can go back and pick out like it's a fake.
It's a fake.
You know, your one-time bit characters, and I will agree with you there. There are no.
That chick that Seven of Nine killed, like, ooh, she was awesome.
Like that. Well, she would have been cool to see more of her, except for 3 seconds.
She wasn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
I wanted to know that
no,
story.
Like, even the like, what's the temporal agents from Lulski and Dolmar?
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Classic.
Like, what these one-off episode guys that they would get?
Yeah.
Were just fucking. I don't know if it was just the writing style, if it was the scenery chewing that you know.
I don't know. It was something because
there's something about it.
These characters are just not memorable. Like I don't care about most of them.
I like the crew that we're getting together. I like them.
I'll be with Dave on this. I'm not as turned off as you are by it. I'm somewhere in the middle of like liking them and like but they're not. They're just not great. They're not terrible.
No,
but they're not like there's. You're right. There's nothing super memorable about them. And I don't know what that is.
I don't know. They all just seem so blah. Like the doctor, like Girardi.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, like I like AI, but also I'm easily manipulated and kill people. And then there's like the pilot guy who's like, I'm deep and brooding, but not really. I'm also kind of like the fun loving one. Like, so which are you? And then that whole scene with all the AIs, I just found that frustrating. I didn't mind them strewn about the ship, like and doing their own little things. But like, it almost seemed like an out of place comedy routine, like a who's on first type of situation where it's like, and what's the memory? And he's like, well, I remember a girl, and she's like, who's the girl? And then they all have their eyes go, and it's like, oh my god, just do something. And they all like smack their head in unison.
Yeah,
I
thought it was cute.
I was alright with that scene.
Yeah,
I thought it was boring and
I just think it didn't produce anything.
And totally and tonally like inappropriate for this. Like everyone's gonna die. This is the most serious thing that could possibly happen.
Dude,
this drives people insane. We just had people suicide themselves from touching this table.
Yeah, but 2 episodes ago we had eye patch French Picard and pimp Rios.
They did tone it down.
Which I also feel like is a tonal problem for a show where you're like mass murdering people.
Yeah.
And not in like a, you know, like when somebody died in Star Trek, like Star Trek was some lighthearted shit, but when somebody died, you had that like that musical sting where like, nah, and you went to like commercial, it was like, like, oh shit, somebody, because you could stun people. So a lot of people would just get stunned. Yeah. It was like, oh, we're stunning that person. Oh, set phasers to stun. Oh,
people
stun
straight
them.
Up die in this
And they just wake up in sick bay.
Lot of dying in this.
This is like a very violent and tonally different show. And then they're having like these cartoony scenes where like, we're all a bunch of silly AIs and we all have part of this puzzle, but not really. they were all like, and Captain Rios is sulking in his cabin. And then the last thing she does is talk to him. I was like,
no, she tried, and then
she
he
tried,
said, fuck
and
off.
Then he said, yeah.
And he's like, she's like, fucking off.
Oh, wow.
Off.
Yeah, was, yeah. And then she came back later and just talked to him, which she could have just done the first time.
If he had let her in.
Ever since the what did she break in the second time? I don't
I
assume
I
he
guess.
Didn't let her in
know.
Then.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The first hologram said he's locked up in his chamber and, you know, he could use a friend. And
so
then
she
goes and talks to the rest of the holograms.
No, she went and said, hey, you want to talk? And he says, piss
no,
off.
No, that was later.
No, that was while she was talking to them. No,
that was after, like, the whole scene with all the robots
no.
she got
no,
together.
Because no, 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 no,
she
knew
she
twice.
Absolutely
no.
was.
No, it wasn't.
Yep.
No, it wasn't.
We'll rewatch it right now.
She,
I just watched it.
She talked
the,
to the. She talked to
this.
Two of them. She talked to the nav guy and she talked to the engineer. Then she tried to go talk to him, or the hospitality guy. And then she tried to go talk to him. She didn't get them all in until she already tried to talk to him.
No, she tried to talk. She talked to navigation guy. She talked to engineer. She talked to doctor man. She talked to hospitality dude. And they were all like, "Hey, he could really use somebody to talk to him." And then she went and was like, "Hey," and he was like, "I don't want to talk." And she was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And then she gathered them all up in a room.
Yeah.
And she was like, "What does he want to talk about?" And then they were like, "We don't know. You should talk to him." And then she was like, "I'm gonna go talk to him." It was like, "You just did that."
Basically, she had to get to the bottom of this mystery because she was starting to figure out like
but
that it was all.
She didn't get to the bottom of the mystery. She didn't have any solution she didn't have before.
But yeah, but I'll forgive that moment because they're like from a personal standpoint. Sometimes there are moments where you don't want to talk to somebody,
yeah.
and then someone comes back. Like I've done it as a human being.
Absolutely.
Like it, okay. it's like it is a human. I will give that to them as a human moment where like if you're super as someone who has suffered from depression, there are times where
you don't want
you
talk
don't
to
want
anybody.
To talk to anybody, and then that same person will come back like 2 hours later.
I'm not saying it's like an impossible like thing. I'm not saying it's out of like. The question that this would happen. What I'm saying is when you have a TV show where you're like violently killing like 16 Borg that we're like what we've come to appreciate as these people who are being reclaimed from like this terrible Borg existence. Seven of Nine has this whole thing about like how they're people and we shouldn't be enslaving them for our use. And then this lady just murders like a series of them in cold blood, and then we're like, let's have a silly scene where the holograms
see, and I can get
do
with you
silliness.
On the, I can get
yeah,
with you on that.
Because she needs another reason to go talk to the guy.
I can get with you on that, and maybe there was a better way to get her out and then going back, but I think from a character development standpoint, if, like from a human standpoint,
it makes sense.
The go away and
I don't have a problem
back,
with that. I'm fine with that.
But I do agree that the silly, the
I think the show has
a
tonal issue.
Like, I don't think they know how to do humor, Trek humor.
No, they don't.
I think that's what it is.
Like, think about Arnor. He kills people, but at the same time, he's supposed to be like a funny character.
Yeah.
Where, like, he doesn't get things because of total candor. But, oh my God, he just murdered all those people.
He's okay with cutting people's heads off.
He's silly. He's silly, this murderer.
What I think they're trying to do is, and I would be curious to talk to people who've just watched Picard and not watched other Trek.
Mm.
I would
those
bet,
people are stupid and don't exist.
But I would
those
bet
people are fictional.
But that's
humor,
the audience they're trying to get.
I think that's the audience they're trying to get.
Right. Yes,
and that humor, I bet that humor hits with them and with us. We're not because we're used to Trek does humor in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the way Trek does humor. That's where we're running into the nitpick. But I would almost guarantee that. You would not see the same nitpick, not to say what you're saying is nitpick, because I think it's a valid tonal concern. You wouldn't see that from someone who has not watched
the average audience.
Yeah.
The target audience.
Because
correct.
That's a very, it's
a fictional made up people.
Science
no, they're
fantasy.
Actually, I take it back. I've seen some people who said they watch
a lot of
it.
People are watching this who have never seen Star Trek before.
I saw a couple,
They're Russian bots, Brandon. Those people do not exist.
All right,
they are tampering with our Star Trek.
Good point, yeah.
Everything
Russians
I don't like
are
is Russia.
Tampering with Star Trek, and we need to get to the bottom of it. We need to launch an investigation.
Real
we need to find the emails. I want to know about the server. This is important shit.
God.
Fuck the stimulus package. This is what we need to be putting our money into. Who's fucking with Star Trek? Who's doing this?
CBS. Dude.
Michael Chabon and Alex Kurtzman.
But it's a science fantasy thing, is what it is. That's science fantasy humor, not science fiction humor. Okay. That's the type of humor you would expect in like a Star Wars. I would expect something like that in a Star Wars, that type of a slapstick scene, not maybe in a Star Trek. But
it just, and I agree with you, it didn't match the tone and pace of the episode. I think it could, it can be done in the show. I just don't think it matched the tone and series.
That particular episode, sure.
That's what they get for not having old, they didn't consult old Trek writers. They haven't consulted old Trek producers. There are plenty of them still around, right? What you've had is the one-off, you had Frakes direct episode 7. You had Burton direct an episode, I think.
Yeah.
But you didn't have, I don't think I saw any writing credits for any like Star Trek alums or even production credits for Star Trek alums. I think that's where the disconnect is coming from.
You know where that scene actually would have played better? In the last episode where it was much more lighthearted.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hanging out with Riker making pizza.
Yeah.
This episode was all about death and despair and this apocalyptic event that's coming and we're murdering people and like this could be our last stand. We're going to abandon Starfleet and the squadron and go straight into the mouth of hell and aren't holograms funny? Yeah. Isn't it funny when you have do you guys remember the Parent Trap where we had the same person interacting with the same, wasn't that goofy? Let's do that in our show.
I mean, there's a way to do it.
And with accents. We'll have them do accents. That'll be so funny. Everyone loves accents.
There's a way to do the
Gallows
humor.
You don't like it. That's okay.
Arr! What if I'm be a pirate? What about that? Wouldn't that be fun?
You're supposed to be a Scotty.
Oi, I'm the navigation hologram. I pirate around the star. Why are you a pirate? He uploaded his personality and then wrote pirate on top.
there's a way to do the Gallows humor because they do it in DS9. As well, where you have in What You Leave Behind, is it What You Leave Behind? Yeah, when they're charging the founders, when Damar dies, right? They have that scene right before Damar dies where they're all like, they're locked out and then they're joking about how they're like, locked out. They're all this way. Die.
We're locked out, yeah.
That's the Gallows humor and it's a funny scene in a scene where they're literally doing what you're talking about.
Right.
But it's not a slapstick, it's a funny Gallows humor.
And it's also gallows humor. Yeah. It's totally appropriate where you have these people who are joking about the desperateness of their situation. It's not just like a bunch of holograms sitting around being like, I don't know who the captain was banging.
That's how you do a
Right,
and that's how you do a sci-fi type of humor, right? It's something like that. And that's the big disconnect is that this is a show and this is a current series and Discovery has the same problem. And I would argue Treks 1 and 2, 3 doesn't suffer from it as much. The movies suffer from it. It can't decide if it's science fantasy or if it's science fiction and it tries to go in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's why it has some good hits, but it also has some wild misses because it can't decide the genre of the show. If they just decided we're going to be science fantasy, we're going to shelve all the sci-fi aspects of it, at least you would have a consistent tone. We wouldn't agree with it as Trek
fans.
Yeah,
I think we wouldn't like it. Yeah. But
you would have a consistent tone. But
they're trying
to
find that middle
thread that needle. They're two completely separate genres. Mm. They really are as similar as the theme may be between science fiction.
They just both have science.
Yeah, that's really it. They're set in space. Like science fiction and science fantasy are two completely separate genres.
What about science nonfiction?
That's called real life.
It's just life.
It's life.
It's just science textbooks.
We're living.
Yeah, we are living.
You know what I really like? I like science nonfiction. Just reading about electrons
and air.
You know CO2 comes out of your face?
Wow.
It's great. That's science nonfiction, right?
Through your eyes? Yeah. Or
no, differently.
Oh, okay. It's coming out of my eyes.
You should see a doctor. That's coronavirus. That's the first symptom.
Oh god.
Air through the eyes.
You can do that just by holding your nose.
Yeah, well, that's what causes coronavirus.
Congratulations, shit. Brandon.
Yeah. I would do that forever. Yeah.
So predictions for the end of season.
I am with Red Letter Media on this one. I don't want another fighter battle. If that happens, I'm gonna flip a
table.
Happen.
Well, A, that's what you're getting.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen.
B, it's gonna be an action bonanza. C, you're going to have Dosh or whoever we have left. Now there's a third name, by the way, because there's the third one.
Jaina.
So there's Dosh and there's Jaina and there's
she died.
And then there's the actual girl we know who's Claire.
Soji.
Soji. And so Soji's going to either die or she's going to like be separated with like this, like some massive event's going to happen. And she's going to be like, she has to go into like a portal into like the unknown. And Jean-Luc's going to be like, no, we can protect you. And she's going to be like, I have to do this alone. And she's going to step through. And that's going to be like the last thing. And then it's going to be like, that's going to be the cliffhanger.
You're going to have like
maybe
like a Wrath of Khan type of moment. Needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Maybe. Yeah. Something like that. She's definitely going to get separated from Picard.
I think that that's going to happen at the end of 9.
Okay.
And they're going to reunite at the end of 10.
Yeah.
But she might die at the end of 10.
We didn't see the hipster Vulcan this whole last episode.
Well, he was with 7.
You mean the Romulan?
No. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Romulan. Yeah, Romulan.
Commander O?
Whatever, they all look alike.
Commodore O?
No.
No,
the hipster, the one who made Soji fall in love with her.
Yeah,
the
Rubik's him. Cube guy.
Narek. Yeah.
See, so long you didn't even remember he existed.
He's a Romulan, not a Vulcan.
I corrected myself. He's a Romulan, yeah.
He shows up at the end. They
know his ship shows up.
Yes,
they didn't have to pay him for this episode at all.
Correct. That is correct.
Yep. Just like Deanna.
Bitch.
I think my long shot prediction is Discovery comes back from the this is my long shot.
Yoda shows up.
Yeah, Discovery comes back from the 31st century. This next season of Discovery is all about their adventures in the 31st century, and it ends with them jumping back. And
maybe
if they really wanted to get ballsy, I was thinking about it would be kind of interesting. If the last episode of Discovery is like a crossover Picard, where this actually ends up being a three-parter and they hit the cliffhanger, but then instead of making us wait another year to see what happens, at the end of 10, they make us wait another like 3 months for the end of Discovery season 3 or 2 or whatever we're at.
I thought they weren't going to connect them, though.
I don't know.
From what I understood.
I don't think they are.
They shouldn't,
that's my, like,
if they're
shot.
Smart.
Yeah.
And they're going to reunify the Trek timeline.
Here's my long shot prediction. I think it's actually going to be what happens. So they trigger like this threshold event, and it awakens like this dormant race of awful androids, and that triggers this other threat we've been talking about, which is these Reaper type characters. Mm-hmm. But it's actually Edward James Olmos from Battlestar Galactica. And he shows up and he's like, we're here to deal with these dirty Cylons. We heard you guys were having some robot trouble. And God damn it if I don't like killing robots.
Yeah.
Everyone to their fighters. And then it's just Battlestar Galactica for the next three seasons.
Fair
enough.
And then Jay's going to be like, I never watched Battlestar Galactica. I'm not getting this.
I'm
going to be like, I told you, Jay. I told you shouldn't watch the show. And at the end of season 3, fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi from Clone Wars shows up. And he's like, you guys. I'm a cartoon. And I heard you guys had some, you needed the Force. And I'm here to do. And Jay's going to be like, I don't know. I don't get the crossover because I didn't watch the Clone Wars.
It's fine. And then fucking,
I don't watch good things that I'll enjoy.
Fat Colonel Christopher Blair is going to show up at the end of that season. And then you will know what we're talking about.
I don't know. Absolutely. Fat Christopher Blair is, but he's certainly as good as the things I just referenced.
No, Wing Commander's better than those things.
You're talking about some movie from the
We're not talking about the movie.
I'm talking about the more popular and better movie that everyone knows about.
No.
The way everyone really appreciates and remembers the franchise, that fabulous movie.
With Freddie Prinze and Matt Lillard.
Yes. Yeah, I would get that reference.
We got to watch that.
I wouldn't get your stupid
video
game. We got to watch it. And we got to make Dave play all the game series.
No,
I will
not.
3, 4, and 5 are the best.
3, 4, and 5 are great games. And they still hold up.
They absolutely do.
They do still hold up.
It's Mark Hamill, dude.
Pass.
It's Mark Hamill. It's great.
Oh, it's Mark Hamill in that
case. Dude, it's great. It's Mark Hamill. It's John Rhys Davies. You know, the guy.
Is this the show or the movie or the video game?
The movie was terrible. We don't talk about the movie.
When was the video game from?
It's a PC game.
95.
Okay,
was that mean?
Okay, thank you, Jay, for giving me a time.
93, 94.
It's a PC game.
I thought you said where.
I think 3 was 93, 4 was 95, and then 97. I think there were 2 years.
Okay.
Or
98
for 5.
So they won't even run on a modern day computer.
No, they will.
No, they do. They run on GOG.
There you go. You got it. Right. Doesn't sound like it's worth my time, guys.
To download an additional launcher?
I'll tell you what. I will watch the movie, and if the movie's good, I will play the game. How's that?
No, because the movie's bad.
Oh, turns out I win.
No. Because they're not the same. It's totally different.
I don't know why they did that. That's another one that I just don't get.
That's like they just retconned everything, and it was awful.
What was the point? Like,
I don't know.
Money, Jay. They were trying to make the money.
But like, why did they add stuff that didn't need to
be there?
They didn't
make the money.
Because for the money.
But it didn't work.
But they figured it would.
And that was stupid.
Well.
Were they trying to just capitalize on Star Wars hype?
Maybe.
I don't even know.
We're watching this show about a 90-year-old Picard.
Yeah, fair enough.
People think lots of things are going to work.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Picard.
Yeah, I know you do.
Fair enough.
It's fine. I just feel like the next Star Trek, we're going to watch the Lower Decks, and I can see it now. Brandon's going to be like, you know, I really like the Outer Decks. I think it's way better than that crappy Picard show we watched.
Hey, I'm happy for Trek in general. If the next one happens to be better than the last, that's fucking fine,
you just
dude.
Just keep moving on to the next one.
I'm hoping that this is the good one.
I hope it's better.
I hope it is, too.
I hope it's better.
I feel like you're not playing the odds.
I also think that
you're discounting my opinion because I keep shitting on something that I previously said I liked, and I do still like it in its way, but I do think what's now come is better.
Okay.
It's okay.
Picard is definitely better than Discovery.
It's a market improvement from Discovery. Do you not agree with that?
You know what? What's funny? I don't remember enough of Discovery.
Just blocked it out.
Discovery's his Voyager.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's better.
It is. Yeah.
Than Discovery.
At least the tone.
Because I remember watching Discovery and being like, meh. And now I'm watching this and I'm like, meh.
Discovery's arc,
I'll take it.
Because
I'll take
it was the sharpest
meh.
Peak
you get a
of
meh?
Any
That's
trick.
Right.
Because it was like season one was fucking hot garbage, and it was season two,
they got better,
I'll
but it was
start
also
out
still
good,
yeah.
And then episode three will peak, and then it's action schlock.
Yeah,
like I was so happy when they had that one Discovery episode where they
the
literally
episode.
Didn't the one where they went to the plant, the church.
That was good. That
and
was,
they didn't
that was
fire
the old
a phaser
Trek episode.
Once.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that was like all character driven, and it was resolved by the end, and I was like, oh, they're learning. And then the next episode, it was like, we have eight stars and messages, black holes, death,
the red angel.
Like, come on, guys. It was just the weirdest.
Should we jump through space? Let's jump off a spaceship and fly through space.
Yeah, I feel like red angel should be
that was their favorite thing.
Red angel jump shark. So I'm curious to see what 31st century Trek is, if it's like, I don't know.
It looks like, I've seen some screenshots, it looks a lot like Star Wars. Like, there's a scene of guys running on a black beach, and probably filmed in the same spot as the opening of Rogue One. I'm like, and they're in, like, kind of Roby type stuff. I'm like,
really? What are we talking about?
Really? The new, I'm talking about screenshots of Discovery Season 3.
Oh.
See, this is where I think Discovery Season 3 is going to lose me, is in terms of, like, the science, really lose me, I should say, in terms of, like, the science fiction aspect of it. Because I feel like what's going to happen is they're not going to advance the tech at all.
Mushrooms.
And it's just going to be really. I think we're done with the mushrooms.
Yeah, I think we are done with.
Wait, hold on, mushrooms.
But I don't think they're going to advance the tech, like past where they are in TNG or where they are. I don't know.
I think they're going to lose the Star Trek thread and be its own thing, basically.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what they should have. Honestly, if they were going to do it as. Totally different as they did. Why did they just do that for beginning? Let's be real. Like, if they were just going to take Trek as a name, new adventure, 900 years in the future,
they should
we could say science is whatever.
Years. Yeah.
We can do whatever tech we want. They should have just done that, not waste two seasons.
I think you're right.
There. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's going to actually find its stride. It's not going to be our Trek, and it's not going to be Trek as we know it, but it's going to get better reception from general audiences, I feel.
I feel like they're going to go super hard into the action, and I hope if they do, just do it for the whole season so everybody can write you off. The Trek fans can write you off, and maybe, you know what? Maybe you get a hit on your hands with non-Trek, because I think part of the reason why it doesn't gain traction with mainstream audiences who might like something... Star Trek 2008 and 10, because it tries to ride that line between action and sci-fi and fantasy, which turns off both types of audiences in different aspects. You get the people who would love Star Wars, but are like, this is a nerd show for nerds.
Yeah, I think what the third season hopefully will do is garner more of those people who then branch off and discover Trek as on their own after. Yeah. Being hooked by the weird, wacky, new, not really Trek Discovery, and for what it's worth, Picard. That's what they're trying to do.
I think you're right.
As long as they're doing more mushrooms,
they know we're going to watch it either way.
They do.
They know they've got our watch, our viewership.
Yeah, but no one's paying for it.
Not our money.
Yeah.
Not our money. Sorry, what?
Yeah. Just who knew that? Just like the Borg, who had a complex interconnecting system of tubes throughout the galaxy. Also, mushrooms.
Yeah,
mushrooms have that technology as well. Mushrooms. And the Borg.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch Star Trek.
I recommend it, but
it's been great.
With conditions, I suppose.
I recommend it if you're not a Star Trek fan, which I would assume is our entire audience.
If you don't like Star Trek, you should be watching this new Star Trek.
If they're not a Star Trek fan, they're not listening at this point of the episode.
That's why I just don't like that person doesn't exist. Like the not Star Trek fan who's really like, just like, I'm thinking about checking out this Picard
show. I started
with
Enterprise.
I heard this actor who played Professor Xavier and is almost dead now is doing a show. And I figured I'd check it out. And it turns out it was pretty good. I never heard of this Star Trek, but
no, there's definitely,
boy, am I into it now.
There's definitely a huge, I completely disagree with that.
Yeah,
dude.
Dude.
There's completely a huge science fantasy audience.
Or the people 100%. whose parents showed them Next Gen, maybe
like,
didn't
no
click
one's
with
gonna
them.
Just look at it and say,
but they'll watch Picard because it's different. It's
but
a different
which is
beast.
My problem with the tonal aspect.
You're
of
thinking
it.
These science fantasy fans who are out there, they've just been craving for a show just like Picard, but like Star
no,
Trek.
No, there's
do it
a
for
huge
them.
Audience of a for a show that is science fantasy in the vein of like a Star Wars. The audience for Star Wars isn't small for. It isn't large for no reason. Like, people like watching that shit. Most people, and the big turnoff for Star Trek is that most people don't like the nerd shit.
But there's a huge overlap between Star Wars fans
there
and
are.
Star Trek fans. I just find it hard to believe that there's, like, these Star Wars fans out there, to take your point, and who are just like, you know what? I always fucking hated Star Trek, but thank God they came out with this show about Picard, because now I'm really into it. This is what was doing it for me. That's the target audience I don't think exists.
I've seen people online who've said that though.
And again,
if you don't believe
you
can that they're
be
real,
whoever
that's
you
fine.
Want online, Brandon, yeah. You can be whoever you want to be. I'm sure these people that you know online
aren't just studio execs trying to fucking like.
I'm sure they're totally legitimate.
Trying to just troll the Star Trek audience.
If there's anything I've learned from our electoral process, it's that everybody online is completely honest and representing their true and honest opinions.
Yes, that is a fact.
And they're real people, and they speak English, not Russian.
Yes,
that's absolutely true. Yep, Star Trek has not been compromised. You trust in the system.
Oh God.
Well, was there any more Trek news that you guys wanted to cover before we go back to our humdrum lives of staying at home and, I mean,
staying at home?
I haven't showered in 6 days, so.
We know.
Could you tell? What was it?
It's the wavy lines coming off.
It's Big the Ben. Cartoonish
like the fucking
odor
right
symbols. It's the visual representation
There's
of
green
odor.
Wavy lines coming off of you.
You remember Pigpen?
Yeah.
From Peanuts. Is that too old a reference? Are you not getting that? Okay. It'll be another 7 days, and maybe I'll wash my hands at some point.
I hope.
There just to, I you know, hope. Just for you guys. And we'll come back with some Peter Pan remakes,
yep.
Which I'm the only one who's excited about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, pretty much.
You guys have plenty of time to watch them, so you'll have no excuses. And we'll see you guys next week. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.